This is The Vocal Minority.
Hello, everyone. My name is Morgan Freeman. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to the two best guys in the podcast game. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Come on this journey with the boys and make sure to follow, comment, download, and like. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go grab a couple of cold pops and remind Andy Dufresne that the world's best podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, is just about to start. Good day.
The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Better go do that.
If Nick and Steve would have been locked up with Andy Dufresne, he wouldn't have wanted to escape. These are just facts.
Oh, that's nice to say that you would stay in prison just to listen to our program. That's nice.
You know, sometimes I wait in my driveway for like a segment to end up radio or a podcast or something. So I can see Andy putting up with four sodomy because he doesn't want to miss the end of our show.
Yeah, totally, dude. It makes sense to me. And you're here, tuned in, downloaded. Thank you. It's The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Yes, it is. Hey, it's us. We're back again. We have a website. It's called thevocalminority.net. And we have social media stuff. It's talking pictures of us.
Yeah.
Videos. So, yeah.
Gosh, this is 2025. Amazing things happen in our society. Hey, recording day is the 24th. It's my wife's birthday today, dude. I should just mention it, you know, because when we listen to this podcast together, she'll be like, oh.
Oh, you intentionally said my birthday late. How thoughtful.
She'll say, oh, you were thinking of me back then? That's so sweet. That's actually what she'll say.
Good luck with that. Yes, well, happy birthday, Rachel, 5 days ago.
Yeah. Perfect. You also should call our comment line. That's what I was going to say. 844-48-VOCAL. If you still use a telephone, well, use it as a microphone, dude.
That's right. Who would have thought we'd all have telephones in our pockets and not use them as telephones?
It's crazy, right? These are just our computers, and we don't talk to people anymore. Speaking of which, I found myself talking to my wife because her birthday is here, and we were talking about how old we're getting, and not in a bad way, but just like some of the changes that happen in our lives. Like, I think I told you yesterday, we're getting a new couch, and I wanted a recliner, you know, like I've never had a recliner before. So I was like, yeah, I think I'm getting old enough that I'd like to have I'd like to be comfortable, damn it.
Sure.
But it also made us think about our relationship and when we got together. And I thought to myself, what kind of douchebag was I when we met at such a young age? Was I a man child? Did I have my shit together? And it turns out, a little of this, a little of that.
You know? I can see that. I think in some worlds, we definitely are man children. But I think that's a positive thing. Because the man men seem to be a lot of douchebags, and we seem to be on the short list of the good guys out there. So I think a little man child, a little immaturity is a good thing. As my son describes me, mature dad with a touch of immature dude.
I love it, dude. That's a brilliant, I mean, that should be on a t-shirt for crying out loud.
Yeah, copyright. So there you go.
Copyright, that's ours. I came across an article I thought we could discuss today since it's weaving in and out of my life and conversation. These are unmistakable signs that you're perhaps with a man-child in your relationship.
Okay, I'm curious how many we say yes to and how many of them there's some insinuation that it's a negative thing, because how could it be if we say yes?
Well, see, this is funny because this, let me see, is this, I hate it. This is written by Harper Stanley. I don't know if Harper's a boy or a girl. Let's see if we can tell through this.
I'm guessing girl, but okay.
Yes, because the actual title of this, I would like to universally open it up. Unmistakable signs you're married to a man child. So let's see if Harper is a boy or a girl. This starts out, you didn't sign up to be both a wife and a mother to a grown man.
It's a woman.
Yes. Yeah. She says, Harper says, yet here you are picking up dirty socks from bedsides. Put them in the hamper, for crying out loud.
Please.
For the thousandth time, telling him he's got to make a dentist appointment. These are the kind of things that this Harper is interested in. So as we go to the first one on her list of things that you're unmistakably a man child, he needs step-by-step instructions for basic tasks.
Should give an example? Are we talking like oral sex or taking the garbage out?
Oh, that's, yeah, because, yeah, oral sex, like, yeah, he's just asking because he cares. It's not that he can't load the dishwasher. It's that he loads it so catastrophically wrong that you're forced to redo it anyway. And when you ask him why the pots are upside down and the glasses are lying sideways, he hits you with that innocent, "But you never told me how to do it." Like somehow he's made it to adulthood without understanding that water needs to actually reach the dishes to clean them.
Uh-huh. Why is there an assumption this is something only men do? Because I have personal experience to the contrary. And
so
I saw
a
great meme the other day that said, marriage is watching your partner load the dishwasher incorrectly, knowing you're just going to redo it later.
And if it is a great marriage or a great relationship, you don't even say anything. You're so patient, you just let them do it and then quietly reload it later.
Yeah, and I don't know which is better in the long run, to have the conversation of why are we doing this wrong, or just, yeah, go ahead, I'll go flip the silverware over later, or I'll rinse them back off, or whatever it is.
Yeah, I can speak from experience to say that I've had the conversation once or twice, and it didn't go well. I mean, you know, it came over to like, why do you have to control this about right. me, you know? So I let it go, and yeah, if I want it redone, I'll just do it silently.
There are some things that are debatable, like it's my preference to load it this way, but there's other things that, no, I just feel are wrong. I don't think the silverware should be pointing up, because then you got to grab it by the part you're going to be eating on to unload the dishwasher. Like, I think there's some things we should all be able to agree on. This age-old debate of do you have to scrub dishes first or not, that crosses gender lines. I've seen everyone have different opinions on that one.
What do you do?
Oh, I scrub thoroughly. I think the dishwasher is for sanitizing, not for cleaning. However, my beloved Kennedy feels the dishwasher has some sort of magical component to it. They can just do the entire thing start to finish, which I pulled. There's a couple of times early in the relationship I decided I'm going to test the theory. I'm not going to undo this.
Yeah.
And, you know, next day I unload the dishwasher. There's crusty stuff stuck to things. Like, I don't think the magic dishwasher has been invented yet, but a lot of people do think it has. And that, again, crosses gender lines.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, she's talking about like he's a buffoon, you know, putting glasses sideways and shit like that. Like, I mean, if you're with an idiot, you're not with a man child.
This already sounds like somebody who is married to a moron, and to make themselves feel better, assumes this must be all men that do all this stuff.
Completely. This one we'll both be able to comment on, not because we are exactly it, but we could speak to it. We're going over unmistakable signs that you're married or with a man child in your relationship. His mother is still his personal assistant. Every birthday card, every holiday plan, every family obligation, somehow his mother is still the keeper of his social calendar. She probably still calls to remind him about family's birthdays, make his dentist appointments, etc.
Well, that's just a good mom.
I was going to say, listen, we're both very close to our mothers. So definitely my mom calls me and says, like, hey, your Uncle Jim's birthday is on Friday. Might call and say happy birthday to him. What's the problem here? Like, yeah. She's not running my life. She's not making dentist appointments for me and stuff like that. But, yeah, what's the problem?
Yeah, I have this long-run theory that I should not remember any of your birthdays because I wasn't there for it. So I appreciate it when my mom or my sisters remind me of people's birthdays in the family, because I am terrible at it. I don't know my mom's birthday. I don't know anybody's birthday except my children, because I was there for those, and my partner in life, because I make it a mental, you know, necessity to remember it. But otherwise, no, it's make me a terrible person. I know my dad's born in July. I think my mom's in May-ish. I don't know.
Like, that shocks me. That you don't know your mother's birthday?
No, I don't. Hold a gun to my head. I couldn't tell you. I could probably narrow it down to a month. Otherwise, I rely on Facebook to tell me these things. I rely on texts from siblings or whoever. Like, does that make me a man child? I don't know. Maybe it just makes me a shitty relative. But These are the facts, Your Honor.
Yeah, I appreciate the candor. This is what I recommend. This is what I've been doing lately, and it's really been serving me well, is that if my mom or a brother, sister, someone says, like, so-and-so's birthday's on Friday, I've been putting it in my phone, and I'll, you know, say, oh, Uncle Jim's birthday, and then I'll say repeat every year. So they're coming up now. So it's, you know, my mom's not going to be around forever.
I've had that option forever, and I've never used it. I just yeah. know that every year someone, something will remind me. And, yeah, I don't think that makes me a man child. I think it debatably makes me just a crappy son, brother, cousin, whatever it is. But,
yeah.
Man child, I reject that.
Yeah, as long as you remember your spouses, I think you'll be safe. You know?
Yeah. Nope, I'm good there.
Okay, we're going over this list. These are signs you're unmistakably married to a man child. Your quality time together is you watching him play video games. I know I've been in some of your relationships back in our young days where, like, some of your partners sat around and watched us play video games.
Yeah, the awesome ones. Listen, the older I've gotten, and I think this is to my own detriment, like, I'm not as big of a gamer as I once was. And I don't know if that's a sign of maturity, a lack of free time, my boycotting of updating my gaming system every year or two. But I will tell you, my son, because I do it for him, he's got all the latest and greatest systems. And there are times where we all get together and we'll play some Mario Kart or, you know, Super Mario World and stuff, because a lot of the old games are new again. And sure. Sometimes I think it's a fun thing, but I am not one of these hardcore gamer dudes that spends a lot of time doing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know really how to speak to it. I think you got to have a little balance. If you're truly just sitting around watching someone else's hobby, whatever that hobby is, that may be a problem.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think this is mostly for younger people than us, maybe 20s, early 30s. But I know there are some people who are just totally into gaming culture. And yeah, that might be a problem in their relationship. But I know a lot of girls, and especially these days, play video games too. I don't know why this is related to just guys, you know.
Yes. Listen, as with any hobby, if it's monopolizing all your time, I don't care if it's Grand Theft Auto or porn, like, or baseball or fantasy football or whatever it is, like, if it's monopolizing all your time, then yeah, that's a freaking problem.
Right.
If you don't have any hobbies yourself, so you're just forced to sit around and watch your partner do their hobbies and you're bitter and resentful over that, then maybe that's time to take a look in a mirror. Otherwise, have the mature conversation of, hey, you got your hobbies, I got mine. So I'm going to go listen to serial killer dramas on podcast while you play, you know, Madden or whatever. Like, have a little balance, but don't just assume that all men are immature dorks.
Yeah, I think that's said well. We're going over unmistakable signs that you might be with a man child in your relationship. His idea of helping is creating more work for you. I'll need an explanation. But I was trying to help, he protests, after loading the washing machine with your white sheets, his red shirt, and your delicate blouses, all in hot water, mind you. His help usually results in more work for you, whether it's cleaning up the kitchen or after he cooks.
Yeah. Listen, I've known some men that will intentionally sabotage things because they think it'll get them off the hook for all time to come.
But really?
Yeah. I mean, you're just making yourself look stupid at that point. So, I don't know. Like, help a brother out. There have been things in my adult life that I'm not good at, like cooking. You know, I've come a long ways in the last 5 years. But I've had some moments of vulnerability where I'll go to someone and be like, yeah, I'm not actually good at making chicken. Or I don't know how to make pasta. Like, help me out. And I actually want to learn these things. So if you notice that your guy is just intentionally sandbagging whatever it is, that's probably a sign he's, I don't know if he's a man child, he's a man douchebag.
Hey, dude, anytime somebody in the relationship, male or female, wants to be involved and to help with things, you know, whether it's me doing outside work and Rachel coming out and being like, you know, let me help you with the driveway, blowing the whatever it is outside. Right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I mean, if you're no good at it, that's one thing. But if you have the ability to help, like she describes, or the desire, want to help, like, teach me. Don't call me a man child.
Yeah. If you're looking for a guy or a good woman in this world, they're not going to do these sorts of things. So it's not that he get video games all the time or doesn't, you know how to separate the whites from the colors. It's that he's probably a douchebag that is either intentionally doing it or doesn't have the mental capacity. So there's a much bigger problem going on than his inability to do laundry correctly.
Yes, yes. These are unmistakable signs you're with a man child. He treats basic adult. She sounds like such a bitch. He treats basic adult responsibilities like optional side quests. Bills, those are suggestions. Deadlines, more like guidelines. Uh-huh.
Maybe he's married to you, and that's why he's constantly playing video games and ignoring responsibilities. He's this close to jumping off a bridge, so this is the only thing's keeping him alive.
This doesn't sound like a happy relationship that she's coming out of, you know. So,
and how did this guy exist before he met you? He never paid bills or did laundry or anything else?
That's funny, dude, because I don't know if this happens in your relationship, but sometimes there's a certain... roles that we fall into within our relationships of, you know, like Rachel does laundry, but mostly I do laundry, right? Mm-hmm. Whether we're having just a discussion or maybe even an argument, if I feel unappreciated or she feels unappreciated about something, be like, I'm always doing, like, what would you do if I didn't do all the laundry? And she always reminds me, and I've reminded her, like, I lived before you and I wore clean clothes. Like, I figured out, you know, like, these are things that sometimes we just fall into roles of doing, but we could figure it out, and so can they.
Right. I saw Mark Norman this past weekend in Reno, and I forget his opener, but he had a guy touring with him, and he made a joke about that he's, in a relationship long-term for the first time, and my girlfriend recently asked me, what would you do without me? And he said, I would probably do what I did before I met you, which is whatever I feel like doing, and I would get through life just fine.
Right. We do that with relationships. We also do it with jobs, you know, that feeling of importance of like, you know, like if they lost me, this company be donezo.
Yes. So another comedian recently said, isn't living together, living with someone else, like it's amazing. It's right below living by yourself. Like life will go on. Okay. So don't fall into this trope that it has to be a man child moron, you know?
Unmistakable signs you're with a man child. His gaming setup costs more than your car. This sounds like a really bad relationship, dude. And who cares if his gaming? I mean, isn't that your responsibility to buy a car?
And apples and oranges. Like, okay, his gaming. What? I don't know. What does your laptop cost you? What does your makeup set us? Like, oh, how much did you spend on clothes or shoes or blah, 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 blah. This is a very unhappy woman projecting all over this guy.
We should try and get her on the air, dude, and just talk to her and try and, you know, have her relax. She needs to calm down. I'm sure she'd like to hear that from me.
Yes. Being high maintenance seems to be her hobby.
So. She says he'll debate the cost of basic household necessities like a new vacuum or decent pots and pans, but somehow there's always money for the latest gaming console, a new graphics card. She's really unhappy, dude. It sounds like you may just not have a good partner, or you may not be a good partner. Let's get out of this relationship.
The title of this article should be Things Harper Hates About Larry. Just that, you know, this seems awfully specific, the issue she has going on here.
This next one on the list, I'm interested in your opinion on this because opinions do range. We're going over unmistakable signs you're with a man child. The man cave is his natural habitat. How do you feel just in general about a man cave?
I feel like a lot of guys have man caves because they're dating Harper and they need someplace to escape from. Like it's their last, you know, refuge, and they have been made to feel like the rest of the house is not theirs, that it's been decorated outside of their wants and desires, and they've been made to feel like they got to live in a doghouse out back. So if that's why you have a man cave, then I feel terrible for you. If it's just simply, we've decorated the house together, I love the whole house, but we're going to have a dirt bike video game room, and she's going to have a, like, yeah, if it's an actual compromise, then sure. but I feel so many men have man caves because they have been relinquished, you know, ostracized and exported to one little corner of the house.
Yeah.
We're going to make you feel like you're a big boy by letting you hang up your Raiders poster.
Right. No. Yeah. Why would you do that? My brother has a man cave. And, you know, I've asked him before, like, what's the deal with the man cave? And it's not like there's a sign on the door that says, like, you must have dick and balls to enter. You know, like, his kids go in there. His wife obviously goes in there. But it is set up by him. I don't think he took any outside direction with how it was decorated or what's in there, what's not.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what, dude, it is. It's just a place that I can come and feel like, oh, here's all my stuff that I like to look at. He collects beer signs, so he's got them all down there and stuff like that. He was like, it's fun to watch TV down here. And, you know, but anyone can come in. Doesn't necessarily have to be a man cave. She says, Harper says, while the rest of the house looks like an actual adult lives there, thanks to me.
Sorry. Did I say that?
Yeah. His designated space assembles a teenager's paradise circa 2005. Empty energy drink cans create a modern art installation. Pizza boxes stack up. This guy, it sounds like you're dating a frat guy.
Yeah, dude, run, okay?
Yeah.
I hope he hasn't found this article yet to see her publicly belittling him like this. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, your brother's house, is the rest of it done in his wife's aesthetic only, or is it somewhat even throughout the place?
It's, you know what? Well, this is what I will say. It's done pretty much even throughout the rest of the house.
Okay.
But he does feel like it's his... respite, you know. He does feel like it's restful and he can kind of relax down there.
But the wife comes and hangs out down there too, right? It's not some, like this Harper is describing, it's some toxic hell pit, right?
No, it's clean. It's got a bathroom, you know, like it's part of the house. It's just decorated solely by him.
Yeah. Listen, I would think it's probably a good sign if you do your quote-unquote man cave and your girlfriend, your wife, whatever, is totally comfortable and ease in there. Because they're also a sports fan or they also like gaming. Like, if it's just you have to have a corner of the house because you feel so alienated from the rest of it, then you are not with the right person.
That's a good way to look at it. And let's talk about a she shed for a minute, right? I mean, like, people have she sheds too. Who cares? This Harper's really harping down on me, dude.
And I feel like a lot of she sheds that I've seen on various TV shows is she does have the entire house to herself. And she wants her own little oasis in the backyard or whatever that is just very uber her. But it's not that she doesn't have space inside. It's that
right.
She just wants more and more and more.
More me. Me. This is probably how we're talking about Harper right now. These are unmistakable signs that you're married to a man child. Emotional labor is a foreign concept. When you try to discuss relationship issues, he either shuts down completely or responds with low emotional depth. I don't know what you want me to say, is his catchphrase, followed closely by, why are you making such a big deal about this? Meanwhile, you're crying and you're carrying the emotional weight of your relationship, his relationship with his family and probably his friends too.
Again, if this is really what's going on, you're not with a good guy. So why are you trying to put the round peg in a square hole here? Like, communication is a good thing. So either he's not a good guy that doesn't want to communicate, or you have broken this man to the point that he just wants to hide in the basement and play Mario Brothers.
And if he really is an immature person and you're looking for more maturity out of someone, go ahead, dude.
What does it say about you that you fell in love with this frat boy?
Yeah. Yeah. Either that he's a good liar or... You somehow liked him when you got together. So what's up? Did you change?
When are we going to see the good side of the man child? Like, all he wants to do is just play with my boobies and ravage me all night long. Like, you know, there's some aspects of a man child that a lot of women find quite endearing and quite beneficial. Or he just wants to fix everything around the house while I sit and watch TV. Like, I don't know. There are good sides to an actual man-child, not somebody who you've labeled that way, who is an idiotic frat boy who will never be a good partner no matter what you do, or that you have broken to the point that he won't be.
It's coming back down to balance. This is a great one that we can think about. His wardrobe would embarrass a college freshman.
All right. Well, now we're hitting close to home. So, I mean, we've discussed this. I don't know what the right answer is anymore on this topic. I feel like I have had things in my life, relationships, where I'm told, like, you're so much different than every other guy, and that's so great. I just wish you would dress like every other guy. Like, maybe those things are connected. You ever think about that?
But did you ever think about this? Like, what's up with having to be perfect? Like, I'm nowhere close to perfect, even for my wife. Right. And she's not a perfect person. I mean, there's things that she could do differently, and there's things I could do different. That's just part of a relationship, dude.
Yeah, and there's shades of all of this. As we have discussed, if you have some work event you're bringing your guy to and he refuses to dress appropriately for that event, then that's a problem. But yes, if he just likes lounging around in, I don't know, ripped jeans and flannels and stuff, like, let him be. But yeah, I mean, and if you're the guy that will only dress like that, then dude, you got a problem. Like, there are events that it's appropriate to dress one way or the other. So this just sounds like a woman who has broken her man, or that picked a man that, I don't know, has a lot of money or something, but it was devoid of every other good attribute that you should find in a relationship.
Or it's the opposite, right? Of like, gosh, he's such a perfect guy, but God, he dresses like a teenager. Like, oh, just be happy that he's a good guy.
Right?
Yes. Unmistakable signs that you're with a man child. His friend group is stuck in spring break mode. Some of the pictures that come with this article are fantastic. It's just like five guys laying around a house with beer bottles everywhere. Every time his friends come over, your house transforms into a frat house minus the charm. I don't even have to read on. I mean, if you're a 40-year-old and this is the truth, then yes, you probably have a little stunted growth happening there. But, I mean, again, you got together with this dude.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have a long list of friends. It's pretty much you and Emily, and neither of you are frat boys or whatever. Like, doesn't mean you can't cut loose every now and again. But, like, I know, like, in your world, we got, you know, Stewie, who probably is a grown-up frat boy in a lot of ways and likes to party hard. But that's not your only friend, obviously. So if your guy is only hanging out with immature frat dudes that are just constantly partying, how is he the exception to that rule? How is he the good guy hanging out with all the, you know, the frat boys? Like, that doesn't add up. So you probably are with a frat boy that you're in denial of, or you're trying to change him, which is the other classic no-win situation. So again, zoom out. You're either not with the right guy, or you are way overanalyzing these things.
This is interesting, dude. I can respect this a little bit more. This next one on our list of unmistakable signs you're with a man child. Decision making is your full-time job. She says whether it's what to eat for dinner or which health insurance plan to choose, he volleys every decision back to you with a helpful, whatever you think is best, babe. He somehow managed to abdicate all responsibility for decision making while simultaneously complaining about the decisions you make. It's not trust. It's emotional laziness. I do know people like this in my life. Like, some of my guy friends that I can think about should be a little more involved. And look, here's the deal. When we talk about some girls being a little slow mentally, ditzy's a better word.
Okay.
Same thing with guys, dude. Some guys have a complete emotional stunted growth and can never have real conversations and communicate. That's why the dating world is so effed up, that women or guys that are looking for other men to have a relationship with oftentimes find unavailable emotionally, right? Because some guys are just dumb and can't get in touch with their communication and their feelings and talk about it.
Yeah. So listen, if you're with that kind of guy who's just dumb emotionally and intelligently and everything else, then again, how'd you fall in love with this person? How'd you start a relationship, get married, have kids or whatever? I think, and this goes both ways, there are certain people in relationships that do not want to make the decision because there's some backstory there, where you were making decisions that were constantly vetoed, belittled, berated, and you've just been broken to the point of, why am I going to give you my opinion? Because I know you're just going to go against whatever I say. Or now it's going to be, I told you so a month down the road. You're going to hold it over my head. Like, you just go ahead and decide. And that's another symptom of a bad relationship.
Well, you sound like you're speaking from personal experience.
Yes, I have been in these kinds of relationships where in the start, you know, everything's 50-50. But then you start to realize, like, no one's paying attention to me. Everything's being belittled. Everything's being held against me. So, yeah, go ahead, babe. You just decide, because I know you're going to throw it in my face again. So if you're the one complaining about this, have enough intellectual maturity to zoom out and wonder, where did this start exactly in the relationship? Because if it started that way, then it's probably your fault for putting up with it and falling in love or starting a relationship with this person. But if you've beaten it out of them,
right?
Then
yeah,
it might be your fault.
No, that's an interesting perspective. We're going over signs right now. Unmistakable signs. You're married or with a man child. Some of these are stupid. I mean, like, no duh type stuff. His phone is his co-parent. Need him to watch the kids? You better hope his phone is charged, because that's the only way he's watching them. He's physically present, but mentally scrolling through Reddit, playing games, or watching TikTok while your children do God knows what. This is a terrible relationship, dude.
Yes. This is a woman who does not want to leave this man for some odd reason, and it's just venting all over all of us. You know. And listen, I have known, in particular, some ex-husbands who do that kind of stuff. And that's why they're the ex-husband. You know?
Right.
Shouldn't have ever been the current husband, and are now the ex for a good reason.
Yes. How about this one? The bar is so low, it's, Jesus. The bar is so low, it's 6 feet under. She's such a bitch, dude. When he does complete a basic adult task, he expects a parade. Put his own dish in the dishwasher. Hero status.
Maybe it's because you're not giving him enough love or recognition so that he feels just the most basic task. Maybe I can get some love and appreciation for, since you're constantly belittling me for not doing it in the first place.
Am I triggering you?
It's one or the other. One person in this relationship is fucked in the head. Yes. In this one, it sounds like Harper. In all of my stories, it's obviously been the person. So.
Hey, dude, we've talked about this a little bit, even on the last podcast. These are unmistakable signs you're with a man child. His hobbies take priority over your marriage. And we discuss, like, how important hobbies are, and especially as you get older. I mean, I think everyone feels it, that it's harder anyway to make friends as you get older. So it is really important not only that you have hobbies for yourself and your mental release, but sometimes through those hobbies you could still meet some friends at a later age, right?
Yeah, no, that's all fair. And giving somebody an out should actually make for a better relationship. Not only are you respecting their hobbies, but hopefully that takes a little stress off and, you know, gives you something else to talk about. Or maybe you can combine hobbies, or you can say, you go do your thing, I'm going to do my thing, I'll see you back home for dinner. Like, balance, people. It's all good.
Totally. I would also say, when she says his hobbies take priority over your marriage, like, if anything takes priority over your marriage, like, something's probably wrong. Like, you guys should be the number one, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it's that far out of whack that's how you're defining it, that him playing video games or skiing or whatever, that right. really takes priority over everything.
Unmistakable signs you're with a man child. He's allergic to planning ahead. Fuck you, Harper. Last minute Christmas shopping, check. Scrambling to find a birthday gift the day of, always. While you're thinking 3 months ahead, he's living perpetually in the now, causing you constant stress and turning every holiday or special occasion into panic-induced shopping.
Wow. Don't live in the now. That's a funny thing to berate somebody over. Yeah. It's also projecting your idiosyncrasies or how you plan for Christmas onto someone else. That if shopping's not done by Halloween, that somehow they're a bad person.
Yes.
Maybe you should stop projecting, unless you're going to open up a movie theater.
Isn't it funny? You're right, dude. I could be just as mad at you for doing it so far in advance.
Right. Did he get you a birthday gift? Oh, he didn't get it early enough for you, huh, Harper? Jesus. Let the man breathe. I feel suffocated listening to this list.
Yeah, this we're going to go home and be even more appreciative for our wives and girlfriends.
Right. I was just going to say, I'm not projecting any hidden things in my current relationship. This is all past stuff, all right, Kennedy? So you're doing just fine.
These are unmistakable signs. You're with a man child. This is the last one that I'll talk to you about. It says, his growth is stuck in high school. What does Harper mean by that? Well, you're evolving, growing, and working on yourself. He's comfortable being exactly who he was at 18. Personal development is something that happens to other people. Why work on emotional intelligence when you can work on your gaming stats? Why pursue career growth when you can pursue the perfect gaming setup?
Jeez, this is an angry, bitter woman who has written an entire article aimed to Kevin or whoever this poor guy is in a relationship. There are some attributes of being young that you should hold on through life.
I pulled up Harper, dude. I got Harper pulled up. I'm going to try and get a hold of Harper because I want to talk to her about her.
She needs an intervention. Move on from this guy. When did you start dating him? And when did you destroy him?
Yeah, she's got a degree. Oh, she worked as an editorial assistant. Like, she's a professional. She's waxing poetic literature. We're going to talk to Harper, dude. I'm going to try and get her on the show because I would really like to discuss who hurt her. Show me where the bad man touched you.
Right. We need to set up some sort of a hostage exchange program for yes, Harper's dude. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, there you go.
Well, listen, again, I think there are positive attributes to being a quote-unquote man child, but not if you take it to the extreme and not if you have forced him into some of these things. But here's a question for you. In your mind's eye, how old do you feel you are?
That's a good question. Physically or mentally?
Emotionally, I think. Mentally.
Yeah. Okay. 35. Okay. You know, I mean, I will say that, you know, obviously, like we kicked that article off with, like, I know I'm a different person than when Rachel and I got together. So that's, 17 or so years ago. If I think back to where I was at that point, like, I was still emotionally the same person and felt the way I do about love and life and doing the right thing, all that kind of stuff. But like financially, I've become more responsible and I see the seriousness of it and stuff like that, you know. But so I would say, I don't know, 35, somewhere around there.
It's interesting. I know I have a lot of maturity and emotional wisdom that I picked up over the years, but in my mind's eye, I'm somewhere in my mid to late 20s. And it's interesting because Kennedy feels the same way. She feels like she's sort of her mental, not maturity, but just that mental status or mental outlook on life or how you view yourself. Like, we both kind of feel like we're still in our, you know, mid-20s or something. And I don't know if that's unhealthy or not. I think there's certain, positive attributes to having a more youthful outlook on life. But yeah, not if it means you're not picking up your socks or filing your taxes or something.
Those are just bad habits. I mean, those are bad habits. Like, my mom is 79. And when I talked to her, you know, she was born in 1946, that means, okay? So, like, when I talk to her about her teenage years, they're in the late 50s, right? Yeah. And she'll talk to about, like, going to sock hops and Dick Clark-style dances. And I can see when she talks about that stuff that she's really reminiscing and back in that moment. And she'll tell me a lot of the time, like, it just seems like yesterday, you know? So I think that it's natural to kind of feel that way. Like, gosh, my body's changed. My circumstances have changed, but like, I haven't changed a whole bunch. Like, I like the same stuff, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's gotta be a fine line between being stuck in a rut and being true to yourself, whatever your hobbies are. Like, was I disingenuous to be playing guitar and skiing and riding dirt bikes in my teenage and 20s, and now I still do? I don't think that's a lack of maturity. I think it's, these are things I liked back then, and I still like them now.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good thing, dude. We all have people in our life that think old, You know, every time I talk to certain people, it's about the shittiness of, you know, this age. Like, oh, I'm going to the doctor more. My back hurts. You know, we have those people in our life that just talk and think old. And I think there's something to be said, not only health-wise, for feeling young and holding on to some of that stuff, but you're just probably a more fun person to hang around, you know?
Probably. The mature dad with a touch of immature dude. It's got to be about the balance, the yin and the yang and all that stuff. And I don't know. I don't know how we got into this discussion, but Kennedy told me recently that I have better table manners than she does. And that's not anything I've ever noticed or picked up on.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's her feeling bad about her table manner, but I've never noticed it. I've never commented on it. And we were out to dinner with her son the other night, and she was like, "We determined recently that Steve has better table manners." I was like, "You determined that? I didn't
don't put me in that."
I've never noticed that at all.
Did she give you any examples of like what she does that she feels is not good table manners?
I mean, she brought up putting elbows on the table, which honestly is the one thing that I do. I was raised with good table manners, but I occasionally put my elbow on the table, and I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Mabel, keep your elbow off the table. Like, that's a real old school thing to, yeah, when I was a kid, my dad used to, "Nicky, get your elbows off the table."
Right.
But I never would flinch if I saw anyone, and I do it myself sometimes. So, yeah, that's a weird one. That's self-conscious.
I would rather be with somebody who puts their elbow on the table than somebody who is ball-busting me for not folding my napkin correctly or using the right fork.
Don't put your dick on the table, but your elbow is fine.
Well, maybe for dessert, if you know what I'm saying. So I've got an article on this topic of man-child or whatever, is things that are supposed to be ridiculous once you get older.
Hmm. Okay. Like you grew up too much, maybe. Or we'll see if they fall into line. I don't know.
A list of things that are supposed to feel ridiculous as you get a little bit older. So do these feel ridiculous and or are you still doing them? First one on the list is spending hours perfecting your social media. Now, this is a problem because I didn't get on social media until I was an adult. I mean, maybe teenagers obsess over social media a little bit more, but I've always said that Facebook is really fake book because obviously you're putting out the quote unquote best version of yourself. So
yeah.
I don't know that I ever spent an abnormal amount of time trying to perfect my social media. Just you don't put the garbage out there.
Hey, dude, listen, I don't know what context to completely take this in because you perfect your social media also professionally, right? Because it's how we make our money.
No, that's a good point because social media does cross over. I've done multiple business pages and personal projects we're working on and whatnot. So on that level, you probably should be working on perfecting because I hate it when I post a mistake and someone busts my grammar or something. But
oh, you can't let it go.
No, I can't, nor should I. It's funny. Somebody on one of our business things, the word was plural, and I put an apostrophe S at the end. And I don't think I did that. It was an autocorrect or something. And
yeah.
The person, hey, moron, that's not how you make a word plural. And I responded, "You are totally correct to bust my chops on that because that was dumb." And then the person responded like, "Oh, hey, man, take it easy. Like, I was just having fun. Like, yeah, I like what you're doing on here. Keep doing it.
It's so disarming to be like, "Oh, yeah, I did mess up. Yeah, thanks for letting me know, you know."
Yes, I've learned a thing in therapy recently, that there's a difference between being assertive and being aggressive.
Tell us.
I'm struggling figuring out the line, but on our show, on this podcast, I am always aggressive because we're debating political opinions or opinions on relationships. Like, it's opinions.
Yeah.
So I think it's correct to debate someone if they're going to come at you and say your opinion is wrong. But, you know, some of these other things I'm doing are a little more business-oriented, so I've just naturally pushed back in a more assertive way, but not aggressive.
Yeah.
And I've been surprised to see some of the people that are like, you know, once you take the time to respond to their comment, that it diffuses the whole thing.
Isn't that funny, dude? Because I may know some of the examples you're talking about, just watching your social posting on certain projects you're working on. Mm-hmm. And you've, some of the responses are different than the responses that we would get by just going and saying, "You're dead wrong, dude. You're dummy." Yes. You know, so it is really a difference. That's interesting.
Yeah. And outside of the world of social media, I've come to find that you know, the example that came up in my therapy is actually dealing with my dad, that I don't have to be aggressive with them, obviously, but if I'm assertive, if I stand up for myself or say, here's how what you just said made me feel, that most of the time, if you're doing it with a good person, they're going to realize, like, oh, hey, that's not how I meant it, actually. Let me take that down a notch and re-explain things. So being assertive will serve you as opposed to just piping down, because that builds resentment.
Yeah, that's interesting. I learned a thing recently. You know, Rachel's a lawyer for the audience that doesn't know, and not as much anymore, but it's still a male-dominated world of, you know, older, mainly privileged white guys. And she's told quite frequently to stop talking. I wouldn't say that to you, but they say it to Rachel because she's a girl. This guy said, you know, when you have somebody like that happen, instead of saying, like, quit fucking cutting me off, to always pose it as a question, because the response will be different. Do you realize you're cutting me off? Do you realize you're talking over me? Because then it makes them engage in a whole different way, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good example. That's being assertive. It's not being aggressive.
Right.
So, kudos. All right, the next thing on this list, things that we're supposed to be just getting over as we get older, is a contradiction based on multiple discussions we've had on the show and throughout many relationships I've been in. They say that as you get older, you should give up on buying trendy clothes that don't even fit right to begin with. Like, stop with the trendy clothes. So am I supposed to be dressing my age, or am I supposed to give up on trendy clothes and trying to look cool and hip?
Listen, this is a tough one, because when I think about it, I think about that comment as women wear different types of clothes than we do. Like, none of the clothes you have shows skin, right? None of it's tight fitted and shows skin. And I can see, like, oh, maybe you look a little ridiculous if you're a 40-year-old woman or a 30-year-old woman wearing 16-year-old high school girl stuff, right? So I can see that. But as far as, like, style, like, I don't understand. We've already gone over it. You look nice where you have to and feel comfortable the rest of the time.
Yeah, maybe that is more of a female-oriented thing. You're right, because they tend to wear more form-fitting things or things that may be more revealing or whatever. Because, yeah, this article is saying, as you age, comfort becomes non-negotiable. Suddenly you realize how ridiculous it was to wear shoes that made your feet hurt just to score style points. Like, that's nothing I'm doing. So.
And you know what? Shoes is one place I can go to, because as I've gotten older, my feet have gotten wider. And probably as I've gotten fatter, my feet have gotten wider. So I do want more comfortable shoes now. Like, I'll wear my Chuck Taylors, but there's times I need to take a 20-mile walk around the city, and I'll put my New Balances on for that.
Right. Thank you.
Right? Yeah.
I concur. This next one's kind of seems like an alarm bell, red flag warning. Things that as you get older, you should consider ridiculous and get over. Caring too much about high school drama.
Oh, wow.
If you're an adult caring about any level of high school activities, that's probably a predatory red flag right there.
Yeah.
Let me see what they actually say here, though. Looking back now, all that high school drama feels ridiculous. At the time, every rumor, argument, friendship, fallout seemed like the end of the world. You probably spent many sleepless nights worrying about all that. But now, it's hard to remember what half the fights were even about. I don't know what their point is. Calling it high school drama is a little belittling. But if you care about friendship circle things or other things going on in your life, like, that's probably not a bad thing, right?
I mean, to care about friendships is not a bad thing. But yeah, high school drama. I mean, if you have people in your life that are constant with high school drama, like, you know, Phil's fucking Sally and Brian, like, you know, you should probably grab some other friends. Like, you know.
I will tell you, tell me if you're this way or not. I have had, I'll just point to my marriage. You know, I was married for 17 years, whatever it was. And there were a lot of fights over those 17 years. My ex-wife was very good about remembering every single fight and what every detail was about it, what started it, what happened during it, before, during, and after it. I honestly, when I look back at those fights, I don't remember what any of them were about. I may remember the fight, like what the yelling and screaming was or whatever, but what it started over, I don't remember. I don't care.
You know, a lot of the time, if I get in an argument with Rachel, I don't remember what started the fight when we wake up the next day.
Right.
I'm not going to get into the minutia of that, like of what started this, but you're right. We've talked about this on the show before, that we do find a difference with most men and most women, that women hold on and keep score, and they have an impeccable memory for it.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Next thing they say that should be feeling ridiculous as you get older. It's a tough one. Staying up all night for no reason. Now, I don't know what their definition of staying up all night is. Like, literally staying up all night is crazy at almost any age. But staying up late, I don't know. I mean, my definition of staying up late has certainly adjusted over the years. I mean, when you and I met, we were working overnight radio and stuff. And I was in a rock band before that and was often up until 3 or 4 in the morning. But I don't know. There's days where I feel like I should stay up late just for the hell of it, just to binge watch some shows. Like, the sense of responsibility kicks in. But every now and again, I do it. And I don't know. It feels somewhat liberating, or like I've done something good for myself to screw the bedtime. I'm watching the next 2 episodes anyway.
That's interesting. I don't have a sharp bedtime. You know, do you really hold yourself to like, well, it's 10 o'clock, like it's time for me to go to bed? Or do you go to bed because you're tired?
I don't have a strict bedtime, but I feel like if I'm up after midnight nowadays, like, what are you doing? Like, this is too late. It's going to catch up to you the next day. I mean, I don't remember the last time I was up until like 3 in the morning, when that was a common occurrence throughout my age and into my 20s and whatnot. But I don't know. It's sort of that balance in life. Like, there are times where if I don't have to get up early, like, I feel like you're doing something good for yourself to stay up a little late.
Yeah, dude. I mean, not everything has to be so rigid. You just have to, as you get older, you pay to play. I mean, Rachel and I stayed up on Friday night. We were playing poker just with each other, you know, listening to music. Before we knew it, 3 a.m. So we went to bed, and I had to be up by 7. So I paid for it, dude. But yeah, I don't think you should worry about that making you feel old. It's just not, it doesn't work like it used to. When we stayed up until 4, we could sleep until 4.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I would say that's where it's a problem, where if you're up and you're having a good time and all of a sudden you're like, it's 11:30, we should really wrap this up and go to bed. Like, no, like, read the room, because there have been times where Kennedy and I are like, holy crap, it is after midnight or whatever. It's because we're having a fun, good time. You shouldn't be obsessing over the clock. Unless, I mean, you got court in the morning or something, you're like really important. Otherwise, yeah, pay the price. You know, you only get 4 hours tonight, but you were having a blast.
One of my favorite Dave Matthews quotes at a concert says, you know, we're getting late into the evening, and Dave says, let's stay up and make some memories. Like, that's a great thing to think about, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to regret this in 20 years, or you're not going to regret it next year. Like, let's stay up and make some memories, dude.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. Oh, Dave and his wisdom. That's good.
Yes.
I don't know. They say as you get older, these things are ridiculous. Thinking that you will have life figured out by age 30. What's their definition of older? Because I had to give up on that many years ago, because 30 was many years ago.
Right. So, yes.
I mean, the notion that by any point in life you're going to have it figured out. I guess maybe in some level I did assume that was going to happen at some point. But again, I still feel like I'm 30, so I feel like I have a long time to quote-unquote figure things out. But as I approach 50, I've started to realize, like, maybe life isn't going the way you thought it was supposed to go, and maybe that's just perfectly fine.
I've heard a million times, life is what happens when you're making plans. Rachel and I have talked about that a lot, like, oh, my life doesn't look anything like I thought it would at 20. You know, oh, when I'm 40, I'll have 5 kids in a minivan. You know, like, it doesn't look anything like I thought I did. And, well, I have to be somewhat thankful for that, right? Because I'm here and enjoying life.
Yeah, and I think there's some freedom in that, that maybe it doesn't have to be so heavily scripted, and that maybe bad things can turn into something good. When I got divorced, I thought my entire world had imploded.
Yeah.
With in a relationship with a woman that is infinitely healthier than anything ever was. And even as my career has zigzagged around, like, I'm feeling emboldened by new opportunities and things that would have scared the crap out of if I was 20 something. And I said, boy, when you're almost 50, you're going to take a left turn. And that would have scared me. But I don't know. Yeah. I seem to be having fun with it now. So,
yeah. You got to have pain. You got to have some darkness and struggle to have light and pleasure. One's not attainable without the other. So balance it out, hopefully, and enjoy life. Stay up, make some memories, Steve.
There you go. One last one I'm going to throw out here, because this is something I've actually had discussions with my kids and some peers. I think you and I maybe have debated it, but you got to give up as you get older thinking that your favorite celebrities are flawless. Because as you do get older, like, there are some celebrities that you realize are pretty perverted or twisted or creepy, and you got to figure out what the line is.
Yeah.
Because I've often said, especially when it comes to musicians, if you're going to be a purist, most musicians have some pretty shady things they have done, antics they have pulled, parties they went way too far at. So
yeah,
it's okay to say, maybe I'm not going to listen to Michael Jackson anymore because I feel he molested kids. But if you're going to say, I'm not going to listen to any musician who's done creepy sexual things, you're probably not listening to many musicians anymore. Yeah.
Not even Beethoven, dude. Come on.
Right.
Like, yeah. That's a dangerous one. And I don't know. I think that holding celebrities to a standard of Mother Teresa is a very juvenile thing. Like, as you get older, we all have our shit. So they definitely do. They've been living the life of Riley.
Of who?
Living the life of Riley. You know, like, you don't know what that means?
No, is that an expression? I haven't heard that.
Yeah, living the life of Riley just means, like, everything's, they've had all the opportunities, everything's great. So, you know, of course they're going to have bad shit. They're hanging around videos, maybe a few 15-year-old girls are there. I didn't know. That's what I'm talking about. You got to let it go or you won't listen to music at all, right?
Yeah, especially anyone who's a rock star in, like, the 70s and 80s. Groupies, I mean, boy. I mean, of course they were taken advantage of by a man who was in power over them, but they wanted it. The men wanted it. Like, everyone was a win-win at the time. But right. If you're going to say, boy, that's dirty that you were having sex with so many different women or whatever, like, it's going to be a short list on your old iPod shuffle from now on.
Right, yes.
And yeah, sometimes you got to pick your battle of... I'll tell you, this just came up the other day. Foo Fighters came on, and Kennedy said, are we still listening to Foo Fighters? Didn't he do something bad that we were upset about? I'm like, yeah, Dave Grohl cheated on his wife, had a kid out of wedlock. But I don't care. Like, that affects his marriage. I don't think he's a cool guy for doing that, but am I going to stop listening to Foo Fighters? No. But Michael Jackson, Diddling Little Boys, like, yeah, I can draw the distinction between one act of sexual depravity and another.
Yeah, you are judge and jury, so do it however you please, right? Everyone can do it however they want, but you really are going to limit your musical listening to nothing.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to let actors off the hook either, because a lot of you are up to crazy things, but yeah, you know, it's I just tell everyone, you got to have your own little barometer, but don't try to be some purist or you will have no entertainment left in your life, period.
Yeah, well, and you can vote for a president who rapes, pillages, and steals and lies, from what I've heard. People are saying.
Right. Especially you look back in history, like Chuck Berry or whatever, marrying a 13-year-old cousin. Like, yeah, obviously nowadays that would be completely insane. But back then it was a funny news story. Hey, Jerry Lee Lewis married his 12-year-old cousin.
Like, yeah, no one cared about Elvis meeting Priscilla when she was 14 or whatever and adopting her to marry.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Times change. So, well, that was an interesting list, dude.
Yeah. I feel good about our maturity level. I don't think you want to be with someone who totally acts their age. That sounds boring.
It does, dude. I do wonder, will we ever go over a list on this show where we come out of it bad or poorly? I don't think so.
No, because we're the good guys.
We are perfection. We are Nick and Steve, and this is The Vocal Minority.
Find our website, perfectguys.com. Yeah. TheVocalMinority.net. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Reddit, TikTok, Blue Sky. I always forget Blue Sky. So check it all out there.
Call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Next time, we will see you.
I'm Stephen Hawking, and this has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. You know, I was one of the smartest people to ever live on the planet you call Earth. If I tell you to listen, you should listen. Hey, Nick and Steve, thanks for everything you taught me today. Hawking out.
Couldn't cure paralysis. How smart is he?
Oh, God, dude.